Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. And we welcome in our friend, as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, Jared Stillman, to the program. Jared, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I am super. I mean, I'm a little exhausted. I stayed up all night last night listening to the Kentucky Sports Radio call-in postgame show. And I got to tell you, for somebody who has had a miserable, miserable decade of basketball so far for my school, it has been every year. See, it's like the opposite. Being a Louisville fan, it's like the opposite right now of being a Tennessee fan. We have terrible November, December, January, and February's, and just a wonderful March when Kentucky loses. It was fantastic last night. That and the Predators win, which was, I think, kind of a contender status defining win last night. It was a wonderful sports evening for me. And I hope that Joe enjoyed not being able to watch any of it, sitting there to watch that boring, boring, boring UT basketball game last night.
Oh, don't worry. Oh, no, no. No, the entire arena was watching the Kentucky. In fact, they put it on all the screens so that the balls are warming up and it's looking up like, oh, my God, what is happening? Jack Golke. I mean, well, we all watched it.
I owe Joe an apology.
Oh.
After about the first media timeout, thought Oakland sucked so bad last night that I tweeted out that all the basketball bennies that told us there was no chance that, or that told us there was a chance Oakland could beat Kentucky, were over their basketball skis, which they often do this time of year, just like, you know, everyone on TV saying Samford was going to beat Kansas. But
they lost by a bucket. Yes,
you were right. You were right when you and your Benjamins got together and said, you guys watch out. We watched ESPNU for that one time nobody else did, and we know, and you guys were right.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful revelation here on the program. So, Jared, I thought Cal should have been fired 2 years ago, so I still obviously think he should be. Do you think the negativity with the fan base is reaching or has reached the point where Kentucky is going to be forced to make a move here, regardless of the money?
So I thought that it was kind of black and white to me. If Cal didn't get out of this week, and he has to go. And the reality of Kentucky basketball is that they hold themselves to a certain standard, and the standard has just not been met. And I went on the radio in Louisville yesterday morning, did my weekly hit there, and I was like, they need to fire Cal if they lose. And they were like, they're not going to fire Cal. It's too much money. And I'm like, I thought you guys, you know, I thought Kentucky basketball was the greatest program ever, and it just means more, and we have all the money and all the boosters and everything else. And so I feel like at this point the game has passed Calipari by. I think that the problem with Calipari is now that everybody can pay the players, he's lost his greatest advantage. And so because of that, I think that I think the situation is completely untenable. I think that between losing, you know, his top assistants over the year like John Robick, and I don't know how he could have been of such help, but Kenny Payne, and even like the administrative help that he had from guys like Dwayne Peavy, who's now the AD at DePaul, I think that Calipari's kind of on his own island out there, and I think the situation's going to be so untenable. You know, I was talking with somebody who's involved heavily in the Louisville basketball coaching search, and I'm like, something I don't think these candidates truly understand when it comes to Louisville is, let's say Dusty May at FAU is the next Louisville coach or the next Kentucky coach. I don't know if Dusty truly understands what it's like being in Miami where you're the 19th most important thing in town, and then you go to Louisville or you go to Kentucky and you're the basketball coach there. It really is like the attention and responsibility of an NFL head coach, and I don't think some of these guys get that. And so with that kind of anger and everything else, I mean, that's what Cal's going to be walking back into. And so I think what's going to happen is I think Kentucky and Calipari, I think they're going to file for divorce. And I think it's going to be a contentious week. And then Cal will walk away with about $20 million, you know, $18 million, $22 million, somewhere in that range. And he'll go be the coach at Michigan or somewhere else next year. And Kentucky will go looking for a basketball coach.
See, I hear you, what you're saying about like everybody paying, but he's still getting the top class. I mean, it's still like Kentucky or Duke or Kansas, basically, right? Every year, like last year and this coming year, he's still getting these amazing classes. I mean, I don't think that's like an excuse or really a reason in this, but I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying. I think it's you get to a point in college sports where it's untenable, where the negativity is just too much, and I think they're probably there.
I think that where Kentucky is with Calipari is kind of similar to where the Patriots were with Bill Belichick, where they're the initial like headline of firing Bill Belichick, but then it's like, look at the last handful of years. This isn't going to work. And I think that's how I think I feel about Kentucky. The one thing that Matt Jones started his postgame show last night and basically started it off by saying it's got to change. And, you know, that's kind of as sad as this sounds. When Matt Jones kind of is the focal leader of that fan base, says it's time to fire. I don't think I've ever heard Matt Jones say it's time to fire a coach. And I've been doing this, you know, I went to college Billy Gillespie's last year, so I didn't listen to the radio then. I'm sure he said Billy Gillespie needed to be fired then. But I haven't heard that about a UK football coach or a UK basketball coach. And so once that kind of gets out there, you know, now it's like the fans are kind of going to be elevated. It's going to be like Butch Jones's last year at Tennessee. And I don't think that Kentucky can bear that for an entire season. So, again, I think what's going to happen, they're not going to pay him the $30 million, but I think they're going to pay him close to the $30 million. And then Cal probably made whole because he'll go somewhere else and get $9 million a year to coach, and he'll be on his way. And then I think the next question is there anybody that's of liking that Kentucky can hire that will, you know, make them feel as if they got the important, great coach that they feel like they deserve? But I think it is more likely than not. Cal has coached his last game at Kentucky. In fact, I would put money. If you were to ask me the odds, I would say minus 250, Cal has coached his last game, plus 300, Cal's back next year.
Okay. Bruce Pearl.
I like it. I like
Bruce
that.
Pearl. Bruce Pearl.
That would be something. So on the Preds front, Jared, I mean, I'm with you. That was, I mean, the 3-0 win. I mean, your goalie makes 30 saves, and you think, okay, well, maybe the goalie just stood on his head, and that's not what happened last night. I mean, they kicked the Panthers' butt last night, and they've been kicking a lot of people's butts lately. And look, I'll be honest. I've been, I guess, hesitant is probably the right word to get into contender status here. But, I mean, at some point, you're 14-0-2. You keep beating everybody that's in front of you. You're going into some of the top teams in the West and the East and winning on the road. I mean, it feels like the Andrew Brunette and this group have found a formula here where they're going to be as dangerous as anybody heading into the playoffs. And if I'm Colorado, if I'm Winnipeg, if I'm Dallas, if I'm Vancouver, whoever right now, I want no part of the Nashville Predators in the first round.
So ESPN.com put out their power rankings an hour ago. Number one, Florida, beat them. Number three, Colorado, beat them. Number four, Winnipeg, beat them. I mean, it's a L.A. number 10, beat them. Vegas number 12. The Predators are 11. I mean, at some point, I think the Predators right now are like the Detroit Lions of the NHL, where I think we could all say that had Detroit made the Super Bowl, I don't think we would have been surprised. Had Detroit won the Super Bowl, I don't think that we would have been surprised. But I think we can all agree that it also wouldn't have been a shock if the Rams had beaten Detroit in the first round. You know, Detroit's not Kansas City, not San Francisco, not Baltimore, but I think we can all agree the Lions this year, a legitimate contender. And that's what I think the Predators are right now. Like, I think the Predators are, I heard you guys say this earlier in the week, and I completely agree with it. I don't think they'd be favored in a first-round series, but I certainly think they can win any series that they play in, and equally, I think they can lose any series that they play in. And I think what's happened is, because of the way that Predators fans embraced that 2017 run, it's now like everything has to be exactly like 2017. And I really don't think this team is like 2017 at all, other than the fact that they have good goaltending. I mean, I don't think their defense is the same as it was in 17. I trust what they have up front with guys like O'Reilly, you know, like a proven quantity, a lot more than I trusted what they had up front in 17. But I think that what happened was Predators fans, and I certainly am a part of this group, we were so sick and tired of hearing the David Poyle and John Hines excuse of, well, you know, if you make the playoffs, anything can happen. And I'm like, no, you're not going to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning in 2021 with the team that you had. And you certainly weren't going to beat the Colorado Avalanche in 2022 with the team that you had. And I remember every game down the stretch of 2022, they played a playoff team. They got beat. And I remember the night that Saros got hurt. And I said, up, here comes the excuse. Here comes the excuse. And then when they lost without Saros in the playoffs, you know, the typical places. Well, if they had had the goalie, no. And you guys know that too. And so I think because of that, a lot of Predators fans got discouraged from this whole, like, anything can happen in the playoffs. And, you know, the St. Louis Blues in 2019, they got hot and they won the cup. And I think what I've realized through this is right now the Predators have officially crossed the line of, I mean, I really think anything can happen in these playoffs. They could get beat in five or six games. They could win the cup. And I think that it's, you know, everything that's great about the hockey playoffs is what the Predators represent right now. And because this season was so unexpected, given the expectations that Barry Trotz laid out at the beginning of the year, I think it's more fun than it is anxious because it's not like the Predators have anything to lose.
Well, you brought it up, but I wanted to ask you guys, because Matthew from Jolton brought up too, what about the comparison right now of this team to that Blues team?
I mean, I guess
There's one guy who was on both. One guy who was on both.
Well, I mean, the O'Reilly connection is. I mean, I would say the difference, like the St. Louis team, the underlying metrics that they had were actually pretty good. They could not buy a save in the first half of the year, and then Jordan Binnington got ungodly hot, and that's why they ended up going on a roll. Like the Predators, their goaltending is really good right now, but it was rough early, but. Like, to me, they're not winning right now because of their goaltending. Their goaltending is a nice part of it. They're winning right now because they have the puck the entire game, which I think is probably more encouraging.
And so much fun to watch, by the way.
Yes, for sure.
By the way, I want an apology. I came on and apologized for Joe. I want an apology because 2 years ago, I think it was either Jared versus Joe or it was this program. I think it was you, Robbie, because you knew what you were doing when you said this during the Colorado series. And you were like, Jared, what's the problem? And I said, the coach. And Joe went crazy. And so I'd like an apology from everybody that defended John Hines over the years. Joe and Hal and everybody else, you know, that, hey, Jared was right about this one. I'm not right about a lot, especially when it comes to hockey. But I was right about this, and I could not be happier because the Predators went from having what I think is probably a below-average coach in Hines. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus right now, but probably a below-average coach in Hines.
I mean, you're still obsessed with him. My God, get over it.
Because I was right for 4 years, and everybody told me I was stupid and I didn't know hockey, and I was
broken
the one guy who constantly
– broken
Chris
clock,
Mason came on the show to debate John Hines. And everybody told me, you don't know the game, you're stupid, you're this. And they went out, and I mean, Robbie and I have talked about this. This guy's a great coach. I mean, he is, and I see it in guys like Lazan and Evangelista and Jankowski and Novak. And I mean, he is coaching up the entire team. He's taking guys who were third, you know, Lazan was a third pair defenseman that was only on this team because David Poile wasted a second round pick trying to trade for him. And the guy, he gets hurt. I'm like, oh God, what are they going to do without him? And that is a testament to this coach. And so again, I apologize to you, Joe, because I'm man enough to be able to admit that I was wrong about Oakland after one media timeout last night. All I ask for you to do is
yes.
The same and admit that you were wrong about John Hines and I was right, and this is an example of that. And by the way, before you apologize, which I am expecting, I would say the other difference is, like when it comes to St. Louis and that 2019 team, first of all, Binnington was a hot goaltender. Your goaltender is a good goaltender. And secondly,
Correct. That
St. Louis team didn't have Roman Josi. And what this Roman Josi is doing right now, he had a play early in that game last night. Robbie, I know you know what I'm talking about, where he took it in. And I mean, I'm starting to be amazed by plays that he makes that don't result in goals. He's so good right now. And St. Louis never had a player like that.
Yeah, I'm definitely not apologizing. But how's your bracket doing?
Joe, why are you not apologizing?
Dude, I can't even, like, we don't have time for to go back and forth on this. You apologize because you go off the fly off the handle and have to tweet something after 2 seconds of a game. So good for you for apologizing for it, because that's what you do. You overreact everything.
But broken you clock. Won't apologize for your years of John Hines defending.
So we're sitting here now, and all of a sudden we have absolute evidence that he's a terrible coach? Because that's what you said. He's a terrible coach. Terrible coach. And my argument was always, wait a minute. Haven't we been ripping Poyle for the roster? So if the roster's that bad, are you sure he's a terrible coach? I don't think he's a terrible coach.
I know Andrew Burnett took half of his roster and is about to compete for the Stanley Cup.
Is the roster different? Did Barry Trotz do anything or no?
Oh, no. Barry Trotz has done a fantastic job. Okay. I would not. And no, it's
is
not
it, is it a nuanced discussion? Is it a nuanced
but
discussion?
I was on you the one that kept absolutes. Telling you to write columns to say, hey, David's got to go. And you, oh, no, I don't know. They turned it around in 2021.
Look, I will say.
He's making stuff up.
I will say, look, I was not as down on John Hines, certainly, as Jared was. But, look, they got a clear upgrading coach right now. There's
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. No, but that's not apologizing to Jared just sure. because he screams about everybody sucking and needing to be fired.
So, Robbie, I don't want to articulate your own opinion for you, but
okay.
I do feel like you remember vividly, whether it was Joe or Hal or Chris or whoever, you remember the finger wagging and the pointing down to me specifically about the coach. And I think going back to that, I think you're on my side on this.
I'm Team Jared. Joe, how do we feel?
Your team, okay, Team Jared on what exactly?
Team Jared on Joe needs to apologize.
Joe, you must apologize.
Oh, I'm not apologizing.
That's good.
Tell us about your bracket.
I came on the program today. I'm off today, by the way. So this is, I wanted to come on the program today because Predators won
you.
And Cal.
What a gift. What a gracious gift.
I came
from
on the
you.
Program. First thing I said today, I said, Joe, I owe you and your basketball bennies who care about college basketball in November, I owe you guys an apology.
Because you overreact.
And Joe Rexrode cannot do the same. And I would like the record to show that. That Joe cannot, even when Robbie, who's on Joe's side, even when Robbie says
trolling me,
Joe needs to apologize, Joe can't apologize. And I just want you fans to understand all those years that we had to deal with the finger wagging of, you know, hey, this John Hines a good coach. You guys don't understand hockey. We were right, and Joe was wrong.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, Jared, you don't understand hockey. He's really good. That's it.
Have yourself a wonderful weekend, Jared. Enjoy your day off.
See you guys.
All righty. We'll react to what Jared had to say coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Keyser here with you. Thanks to Jared Stillman for joining us in the last segment.
Yeah, thanks.
I just got a text from Jared. It says, please state for the record that Ian yesterday uncovered a guarantee from Jared versus Joe that Dusty May would win one more tournament game in year one than Stackhouse did at Vandy, which must mean that Joe was on the other side of that. So now we're going to do a Dusty May, Gary Stackhouse argument on my own personal text line.
No, I'm really glad that he can investigate so many things so not thoroughly and just then make assumptions about them. By the way, Katie Rexrode texted me and said, it's true, you don't apologize. I mean, I'm not going to handle this slander today, folks.
Wow.
I apologize plenty. But again, it's like, John, I agree. Andrew Burnett has been an upgrade. He's been fantastic. John Hines is not some garbage coach. That's what Jared said over and over. I still disagree with him. I'm not apologizing for disagreeing with that. It's stupid. It's a stupid overreaction take, and it hasn't changed.
One thing I will say, though, because I agree with you there. On the other side of this, though, like I think there was a lot that was true on the other side of, like, people did go after Jared in terms of, like, thinking that John Hines was the greatest coach ever. Like, thinking that he could do no wrong. And it's like, guys, there is a middle ground here between him being the greatest coach of all time and being absolutely terrible, as Jared throws out there. And some people couldn't find that on either sides of it, which always drove me nuts in that discourse.
Right. But you and I didn't do that.
Well, for sure. But we're,
I mean, we were a lot
program in America.
Well, we were aligned on this. And now you're trying to say, I need to apologize. Why isn't he asking for both of us to apologize?
I just want to see
why
you
do
apologize.
I get singled out?
Because I just wanted to see you apologize. And it's one of my favorite things to see you flustered with Jared. So
I
that's why I did it.
I apologize a lot to a lot of people, including my wife. I am very hurt that she texted me that today. I'm also sleep deprived, Katie. How could you do that to me? I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're married to me. There you go. There's one.
Jared said last night's win is a cup contending level win for the Predators. Are we buying that? Are we buying first off, I mean, look, nobody is going to pick the Predators, I don't think, to win the Stanley Cup heading into the playoffs. Do you buy them being a legitimate cup contender based on the last 16 games we've seen?
You know, I actually let me give Jared a compliment. I actually like his Lions analogy. It's like the team that, and there's been other teams, you know, and I know it's never a great or a perfect comparison like that tournament to this tournament. This tournament, the Stanley Cup, the Stanley Cup playoffs is a different deal. But I like that idea, which is basically like, would I put them in, like, if you're saying, who are the contenders? Would I put them in that list? I probably wouldn't. But are they a team that you have to look at and take seriously and say, sure, that team could make a run? Yes, and that's not something I would have said a month ago. So they've certainly elevated to a point where you have to take them seriously, and it's not just, well, they got in. What a nice first year. They limped into the playoffs, and, hey, a little experience for the young guys, and good for them. It's more like, who wants to play these guys? It's a big change.
It's a big change, and I'm with you. Like, you know, am I putting them over the Colorados and the Edmontons and the Floridas? You know, I understand they just went in there and destroyed Florida last night. You know, the other thing to keep in mind here is, like, the playoffs are different from the standpoint of, it's a 7-game series. You have to make adjustments in the series. And we'll see. You know, Andrew Brunette doesn't have a ton of experience doing that. So we'll see what that looks like come playoff time for him as well as this group. But, like, right now, based on the way they're playing, if you told me, like, the Predators made some run to the conference final, would I think you're crazy with the way they're playing right now? No, I wouldn't. So does that qualify for them being a cup contender? I mean, yeah, I guess. If you want to put them in your I guess that depends on the eye of the beholder, but, and I said it earlier, if they play like this, they're going to have a chance against anybody they play. And that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to beat anybody they play, but they're going to have a chance against anybody they play if they're playing like this, which I did not think would be the case this time a month ago. I mean, look, I didn't think they'd be in the playoffs. So I do think there's a certain level of gravy to all of this, which makes it more fun. Like, the expectations are low, and after the 9-2 loss to Dallas, you thought they were done. And the fact that it's been this dramatic of a switch, plus they're playing great and they're getting the results, all it's lining up for a perfect storm of, I mean, this fan base is having a lot of fun watching this team right now. I mean, people are, you know, texting us to start the show when we were talking about the NCAA tournament, like, okay, that's great. Let's get to the Predators. Like, this fan base is fired up right now.
Yeah. And, yeah, I do think in terms of that, in terms of the excitement, the feeling of possibility, I mean, I think that's it has not been this since the President's Trophy year. Because in 19, it really was. It was like, oh, what's going on with these guys? Everybody thought they were going to be right on that very top list of contenders, and they just clearly weren't that year. They were starting to go the wrong way for a variety of reasons. And so that started the kind of angst years, you know, of trying to hold on and still trying to see if you can keep that core together and do something. 18 was obviously just pure excitement. Like, that team, you know, of course you win the President's Trophy. One, often you don't win the cup, but you're certainly one of the very short list of favorites to win the cup. That's not this, but I think the excitement and the feeling of a real opportunity to do something is the most since then.
We'll get back into the NCAA tournament coming up next. Take your thoughts on John Calipari and Kentucky losing last night. We'll look ahead to today's action as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Make sure you tune in to 102.5, 106.3, The Game this weekend for NCAA tournament coverage brought to you by Toyota. Ready, set, go. Get your Toyota today at toyota.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keys are here with you. We'll have the Rob rant coming up here in about 10 minutes. Joe, Coach Cal out. We got a lot of reaction to Kentucky losing yesterday in the tournament. Will Coach Cal be out? Will he be back next season? Will Kentucky pay the money that he's owed? Lots of strong reaction. Like, I've not heard from anybody today so far that thinks that Kentucky should keep Coach Cal. Now, that's not necessarily expected after a game like last night where Oakland takes down Kentucky and they fail to reach the second weekend of the tournament again, have not been there since 2019. This is going to be really interesting here to see what happens. The willingness of Kentucky and their administrators to make a decision if they want to make one. And also what we talked about earlier, and I do think it's true more so probably in college sports than it is in pro sports, but kind of that line of demarcation, a point of no return with the fan base. Is there a point where the negativity gets to where it forces to make you move? And I think we're getting pretty close to that with Coach Cal in Kentucky.
Yeah, and I think I could kind of see, well, look what happened with Vanderbilt and Stackhouse. You know, it was a mutual parting of the ways. I believe there was a little bit of a reduction in the buyout in the process there. And I think that the same thing could happen here. And Cal move on and say, okay, all you folks who didn't appreciate me, I'll show you. And he'll get another good job. I tend to agree. Like, I would also put money on that was his last game coaching Kentucky, however it exactly shakes out.
Yep, it's going to be – well, first off, we know it's not going away. Like, this is going to be the biggest story in sports today is what's going on in Kentucky, what happens with Cal, and all of those things. Joe, today, day two of the tournament, so you got some upsets that we've already seen gone down yesterday. Our national championship pick in Purdue is playing today, so we'll see what they're able to do there. But what are some games today that are on the docket that really catch your eye? We've talked about Auburn. They're a really interesting team. The SEC needs them to do well. But there's James Madison, Wisconsin, which I think has a chance to be a really interesting game. Grand Canyon, the Fighting Bryce Drews taking on St. Mary's. What do we make of today's slate in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, no, I'm into that one. I think New Mexico-Clemson could be a really good game. Colorado-Florida, big-time game. You know, a game that's sneaky fun is Texas A&M Nebraska. It should be an up and down offense. I mean, Nebraska is fun, man. Nebraska basketball, Fred Hoiberg, Nebraska ball. They are actually worth watching. I think Charleston, Alabama is a fascinating game. James Madison, Wisconsin. That's an upset pick for me. I'm going with JMU. And I'll tell you another game. Nick Kieser's Hilltoppers wouldn't pick them to win, but I love their point guard. They are a fun team, a terrific coach who's come right in and gotten to this point. Marquette's point guard, Tyler Kolek, he's hurt. I think Marquette's going to win, but I think that game could be more interesting, maybe the most interesting of the 15-2s.
Roll Tops.
There you go.
How many yards will Bailey Zappe throw for in that one?
1 billion.
Good stuff. Love it.
Just want to make sure that we get that on the record before the game starts later today. No, I think that could be an interesting one too. I mean, Auburn, with what they did in the SEC tournament, I mean, we know when they're on offensively, especially, they're as dangerous as anybody. I mean, I think they're going to handle Yale today. We'll pretty easily. We'll wait and see what happens on that front, but you have got me now really pulling for an eventual Auburn-UConn matchup in this bracket, and I need to see it.
Yeah, no, I think anybody who likes basketball, that would be an absolute amazing game. So, look, I've also seen this before in this tournament where you have a team that wins a conference championship that absolutely spills it, and they get shipped out somewhere. And, man, I've done that Spokane trip a couple times in terms of coverage, and it's just, oh, that's out there, man. And, I don't think Yale can really challenge them today, but, you know, if you get past that, let's see, what would be past that for them? The five is that San Diego State, right? Is that right?
So. Yep.
Yeah, San Diego State. It's a pretty good draw. They need to get to the Sweet 16. I mean, the SEC needs, you know, Tennessee, Auburn, those two in particular are the ones that you should be able to count on the most to get to that next weekend.
People are all over you today on the text line, Rex Road, about Michigan State. You not picking them yesterday and then them going out and pulling off the upset. I mean, I guess I'd like to point out that I had Mississippi State not only winning yesterday but beating North Carolina in the next round and had them in the Sweet 16. So I guess I need my fair share of blame here too. But people all over you about Michigan State on the text line.
Well, Michigan State has been poopy this year. I mean, I've had to watch a lot of them. They're not good. They're way overrated. And I sat there and watched Mississippi State dismantle Tennessee a week ago, and sometimes that happens too, right? You're a little bit of the prisoner of the moment. They did not play well yesterday. Mississippi State just didn't play well. And Michigan State did a great job. I mean, they did a great job taking Josh Hubbard out of the game and they hit shots. You know, it really comes down to that. Michigan State has some guys who hit shots some games and don't. Jaden Akins, Tyson Walker hit their outside shots, and all of a sudden it opens everything up. I mean, any of these teams, it's like Tennessee coming up. You know, like if you're going to have a game where you go 4 for 18 from three, that might do you in. And if you have a game where you go 10 for 22, you know, then it's going to be darn near impossible to beat you. So I apologize. I'll apologize for that. I will not apologize for anything else today.
Coming up next is time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program, either the Rex Rant or the Rob Rant. We'll do that coming up next. Make sure you tune in to 102.5, 106.3 The Game today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on South Carolina on the road with pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
Did I say Rex Road right?
Rex Road.
Rex Road. Okay, let me do that again.
No worries.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
Full pain and then heartburn. I mean, pulled pork is like, it's absolutely going right to the heartburn. I had to have two Pepcids, one's in the middle of the night to survive.
Don't talk to me about that.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Scott Stapp, who continues to make just a wonderful comeback in the music world, leading us into the segment. There's a nice video I came across my TikTok feed the other day, Joe, of Scott Stapp doing a concert and a bunch of shirtless dudes up in the crowd just jamming out. He was jamming out with them. Dude's a man of the people right now. Good to have him with us here on the program.
Yeah, wait, did Ryan Porth send that? I feel like Ryan Porth may have sent that to me, and I'm like, he said something like, well, this shows you something. I'm like, yeah, it shows me that if you get drunk enough, you can think any music is decent.
We appreciate Scott Stapp and his contributions to our program, as we do every time. So, Joe, Long Beach State eliminated from the NCAA tournament yesterday, and you may be out there thinking, oh, okay, well, who cares about Long Beach State? And I'm largely with you. But this story heading into the tournament, one was really cool to see the way that the team responded. But number two, their athletic director started talking yesterday, and about halfway through the quote, I was like, is this really happening? Like, is this really what's going down here? So for those who don't know, Long Beach State – was on a 5-game losing streak, and they fired their coach after that 5-game losing streak. And then Long Beach State went on a run last week to win the Big West tournament and to earn a bid into the NCAA tournament. So we've been talking about what a wild year it was for bid thieves and all these different things. And they go on an unexpected run. They win the Big West tournament. They get matched up in the NCAA tournament with Arizona. They go on to lose yesterday. But before the game yesterday, I mean, everybody was talking about the coach who was fired, who was allowed to coach the rest of the season, Coach Monson of Long Beach State. And the athletic director got in front of the media yesterday and said, quote, talking about the decision to fire the coach, "My belief and hope is that by doing what I did and the timing of it, they would play inspired. And that's what they did. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but it worked." That was the quote from Bobby Smitherin, the athletic director at Long Beach State, who looks like he's trying to take credit for firing the coach and then the team going on a run here in the NCAA tournament. I read that and I was like, is this real? Like, is he sitting here in the aftermath of this trying to be like, yeah, well, this was my plan the whole time, was to fire the coach and to let him coach out the rest of the year, and then the team go on a run after that? I could not believe that quote when I saw it yesterday. So, I mean, in some ways, I kind of respect it. I mean, it's a bold move to go out there and be like, yeah, I mean, this is my plan the whole time. I was going to fire the coach. I thought I would fire the team up. We go on a run to the NCAA tournament, and I'm an evil genius, and it worked. But I couldn't believe that somebody actually said that out loud as an athletic director in the media yesterday.
Yeah, is this the onion? Is this that's not an onion quote? That's a real quote. Imagine how much those players hate that guy. Like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, it's like anybody who's coming back next year to play, like, talk about just absolute. I mean, and not to mention like the entire coaching, you know, fraternity now. I mean, and everybody, Tommy Lloyd went off on, I mean, like everybody's going, like, there's gonna be others who are gonna go off about this whole thing. Well, what a just a ridiculous thing to say. Not trying to pat myself on the back, but
that was the best part.
Oh my God.
I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I'm just saying it worked.
Just like, saying. Yeah,
I'm sure that's exactly what you had in mind in the middle of a 5-game losing streak before the Big West tournament was set to be played. Of watch this, guys. I'm going to fire Dan Monson, and then you guys are going to go on this magical run through the conference tournament and make the NCAA tournament. Like, said that out loud.
I feel like you just need a little boost, and hey, I got it for you right here. Firing your coach. Yeah, and then when apparently Munson's, like, healthcare immediately ended, too.
So yeah.
It's like, you can't give the guy, like, a 30-day, like, extension on the healthcare? If I take away – if Dan's family can't go to the doctor, I really feel like these players are going to dig deep on defense. What's this guy's name? Bobby Smitherin?
Smitherin.
Okay. AD of the year.
Yeah, what a joke. And then, of course, you know, Dan Monson was asked about all that, and he said, quote, well, if it helped, I'm really happy we did it because I wouldn't trade it for the job or any other job. I've said that all along. If that's what spurred this, that's great, but we'll never know because that's how it's played out. We'll never know if it did or not. It's not really worth talking about. So a very classy way to handle that by Dan Monson. But my God, he's got to be thinking in the back of his mind, what a jackass this guy is over here making these comments in public and be like, well, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but me firing this guy, I think really spurred this on.
Yeah, look, it's been known for a long time in college basketball. Dan Monson is one of the really good guys. I mean, a really, really good guy. He was at Minnesota for a long time. You know, if people don't remember, the Gonzaga run, the initial run, 1999 to the Elite Eight, that was like, I mean, at that point, Gonzaga was St. Peter's. I mean, seriously. Not quite, but like they were out of nowhere. He was the coach. You know, Mark Few then took over when Dan Monson went to Minnesota. So, you know, in retrospect, probably should just stay there, right? But one of the really good guys in sports. And so to see him treated like this and then this clown, you know, say stuff like that really is infuriating.
Here's another quote from the AD, Smitherin. Quote, my job is to position our coaches and student athletes to be successful. This was maybe an atypical way to do so, but I believed in the roster we had. I believed in our coaching staff and our ability to do something special. Maybe this was the catalyst they needed to be inspired to play for one another. I believed in the coaching staff so much, Joe, that I fired him. That's what he's saying there.
My God. He sounds more like Mr. Burns than Smithers. Excellent. Good Lord. Well, I mean, talk about this. I mean, if you're any coach, if you're any player, if you're anybody in that athletic department, or if you're any, you know, Dan Monson or anybody in his family, and you're listening to that, you're like, holy crap, really?
It is a shame that Long Beach State couldn't go on like some run here to get to like the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, because what a storyline that would have continued to be had they fired this dude, and then they go on some magical run in the NCAA tournament. So, I mean, they lost yesterday. I mean, they're a 15 seed going up against Arizona, so they're probably going to lose. But I was – when I saw this quote, and I saw this before the game yesterday, I was pulling like heck for Long Beach State. I really wish they could have made a magical run here.
Yeah, no, it would have been great. We're just going to have to settle for Jack Golke and my guy Greg Campy, I tell you. But that would have been fun. It's quite a story. I just want to point out that on the text line, it says, tell the text line to lay off Joe. You were the only person saying Kentucky should be on upset watch. I just want that on the record. Thank you.
You did say that multiple times,
but I chickened out, didn't pick it and put them in my final four.
You did do that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. We'll get TD's thoughts on how well-positioned the Titans are heading into the NFL draft, what they've done in free agency to this point, and a whole lot more. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.